It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And you know, we have another sponsor. This show is also brought to you by Bill Clark. Now, you may think, okay, well, who the heck is that? Well, if you've been listening, you would know he is our co-host here. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, War Eagle, and looking forward to the rest of the holidays.
Yes, absolutely, because we've got quite a stacked holiday slate here for both Auburn football, well, Auburn football recruiting-wise, and basketball. As far as some of the games y'all have got coming up, it should be a pretty easy December for you. But, of course, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I do want to, because I don't think I've told you off air yet, because this recently became official, do want to thank you for being a sponsor for this show, and at least until further notice.
Absolutely.
Do appreciate that. And, of course, want to give a thank you to Coach and Forest Steakhouse, as always. As I said, you can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And you can also saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. So thank you to them as well.
And if you go in there, make sure you mention that you heard it here so they understand that their message is getting out.
Yeah.
Also, if there's any other Auburn fans out there that own businesses and would like to co-host this show, just reach out to us and let us know. We would be happy to bring somebody else on board.
Right. So we're always welcoming perhaps other sponsors, and we will always take promotion, as you said.
Absolutely.
If you go to Coaching 4 and say, hey, we heard about you from ESPN Pensacola. All righty. So, Bill, you wanted to talk first about Auburn football, because not only has the season itself come to an end, but it sounds like you guys have wasted no time when it comes to some of these names you're looking at through the transfer portal.
Yeah, unfortunately, the stars didn't align for us for this season, so we have no postseason to go into. So all the focus on the football is on the commitments for the 2024-2025 incoming class, as well as the portal, which opened up this past Monday.
Right.
And Auburn has some holes to fill. Obviously, Peyton Thorne ran out of eligibility, so he's gone. KLS had 1 year of eligibility left when we picked him up last year out of the portal.
That loss is going to hurt.
Oh, but he was a standout. I mean, him and Cam Coleman, what a great two-receiver team for even somebody with, I'm not going to say pedestrian ability, but even your average quarterback with those two receivers can make you look like a rock star at times.
Yeah.
So Auburn's gonna try to fill those holes. We're looking at the receiver that entered the transfer portal from Georgia Tech, and we're also looking at the receiver from Wake Forest.
Yes.
He's got a very interesting name, and
he does. Horatio Fields Jr.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
He's and coming from a Wake Forest fan, because I've mentioned that a time or two throughout this season. You're getting the gym. He is good.
Well, I knew as soon as I saw that name and where he was coming from, I knew Austin's ears would be fully in tune with this, because I know you're going to hate to lose him.
Ah, jeez. We're always on the losing end of the transfer portal.
And I don't know when his official visit is going to be. I'm assuming it's this weekend. But we're looking at him and the Georgia Tech receiver officially, from all the information that I get from the sources that I have. Those are the two top runners for the receiver spot.
Right.
We're also going to fill a linebacker or two, and definitely some offensive linemen, because we had quite a few offensive linemen that transferred to Auburn out of the previous portals that have lost their eligibility. So we're going to have some big holes to fill. The biggest one, obviously, being quarterback. I mean, we've got Deuce Knight coming. That he's still committed to come to Auburn.
Yeah.
But they absolutely 100% believe that their intention from the beginning with him was to redshirt him. So they're not – I don't think that they would even consider playing him, much less starting him this coming year and burning a redshirt, unless they absolutely had to. It would have to be something like what happened with Georgia in the last game, where, you know, the quarterback can barely pick up his throwing arm and you don't have anybody else to go to, so you got to throw him back out there when the guy's helmet comes off. We don't want to be in that kind of position. They're looking at Jackson Arnold. Anybody that's followed Texas knows who Jackson Arnold is. He's a good quarterback. I think he would fit the program well. But in my opinion, the one that stands out the most and would probably have the greatest initial impact, just bringing him straight into the program, is Malik Murphy out of Duke. I mean, you look at what he did at Duke. They had three losses, one of them in overtime to SMU, who's in the playoffs.
A one-point
and they
OG
should
loss.
Have won that game. And then they had the comeback win against your guys, Wake Forest.
I can't catch a break this morning.
To close out their season. But the thing is, he has, as a passer, he has great stats. It's 254 attempts, 254 catches out of 421 attempts, and just shy of 3,000 yards.
Yeah.
All he needed was another 67 yards, and he's got a 3,000-yard season. He did have 12 interceptions, but he had 26 TDs. A couple of those interceptions, and I didn't watch that many games that Duke played, but I did see a game or two where he threw an interception, and it was almost always when he was on the run.
Being hurried.
Yeah, or throwing off of his back foot, you know, or not able to get his feet set, or tip ball. I did see one that was tipped at the line, and I mean, heck, it went straight up in the air, and it was, 50-50 ball then.
Right.
But I like what we're going, the quality of the player that we're going after in the portal. And that's been a really good thing that I like about Hugh Freeze is when he sees a need and the portal's open, he is not afraid to go 100% into the portal and try his best to get what he needs to fill the holes in the program that he sees. So I'm looking forward to that. The cool thing is, at the end of the National Signing Day, which was a week and a half ago, we finished eighth overall nationally. Arguably, we got the best quarterback that was available with Deuce Knight.
Right.
Our previous rank last year, which really wasn't a bad recruiting year, was 17th. So, we had a bad football season. The stars just didn't align for us. We lost some close games that we should have won.
Yeah, if you could close a game, you'd be a lot better than 5-7 right now.
But I've mentioned this before, the ingredients that the coaching staff is putting into the program to bake a better cake is something that these kids, these recruits are seeing and that they like.
Right.
And they're sold on it, and they're staying committed to the program. Hank Brown, who was our number two quarterback, has entered the portal. That's the only player I really would have liked to have seen hung around, because I think he would have ended up with the starting job, maybe not this coming year, but the next year, because he still has 2 years of eligibility, and they could still redshirt him. But, you know, it is what it is. He's looking at greener pastures somewhere else, and I'm not sure who's looking at him or where he intends to go.
I'm not sure either.
I don't know what his rank is in the portal, quarterback-wise. It's obviously behind Jackson Arnold and Malik Murphy.
Oh, for sure. He just doesn't have on experience alone.
He's only got two starts at Auburn, and he's only played in, I think, five games, you know. So, but, you know, that is what it is. So, but I have a good, strong, healthy appreciation of what he's trying to do in the portal and recruiting and building the program. And I don't want to say I have unreachable expectations for next year, but we should be much improved next year over what we had this year. As far as the product that you see in front of you on the TV and out on the field.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and host / sponsor Bill Clark in here with us as always. And, I'm looking at because we wanted to touch on Auburn football in particular first. We'll get to the playoff stuff later, but we wanted to touch on Auburn football first because we're kind of in the process of handing the torch off to the basketball season. That's why we're keeping this show going. But yeah, there was a lot to talk about with Auburn football. That Malik Murphy kid, I'm really excited about, not only because I want to see him leave Duke, but also because they did defy a lot of expectations. When it came to a 9-3 season with a first-year head coach, Manny Diaz, you know. So he was a great story last year. Sure, he wasn't perfect, but, you know, who is? And then you've got, as you said, you're going to lose players in the transfer portal every year. So for Auburn to kind of bounce back like they have, and they're trying to get some wide receivers, you know, to make up for their loss with KLS, and they're trying to keep their quarterback momentum going because Peyton Thorne ended on a statistically strong note. When you're trying to just kind of keep the ball rolling, I think Auburn's done phenomenally so far. It's very early, but I think so far they're holding their own pretty well.
I agree, and I have, like I said, I have great expectations for next year.
Absolutely. All right. We we'll touch more on this obviously when we come back, but we do have a few minutes here, so I'll introduce it. Auburn basketball just kind of, dare I say, had their way with Richmond. 98-54. I'm not going to lie to you, Bill. Not going to sit here and hype this up. You're not an idiot. You know that that win was expected. It doesn't do much for us. But it does make you 8-1 on the year, and you're number two in the rankings now.
Number
correct?
Two behind Tennessee. Number one Kansas fell after yes. their loss. Auburn retained their number two spot despite the loss to Duke.
As they should have.
And it was a close game. Auburn led for a while, and then they were behind for a while, and then they led again, and it ended up being a 6-point game?
Yeah, I think it was 84-78.
Yeah. So, you know, this was – the score of this game against the Spiders was not an illusion. It was not some kind of fluke. This was pretty much – I think Auburn was like a 27 or 28-point favorite going into the game. The Spiders scored 54 total points for the whole game. Auburn had 52 in the first half. The takeaway I have from this game is Bruce Pearl started the two bigs together, Cardwell and Broom. They got the start,
yep.
Which is kind of unusual to put a big forward and a big center out there at the same time.
Right. You want to kind of be able to maintain your size all throughout
yeah,
the game.
You want to rotate them in and out, which is normally the way they would do things. But that was kind of different. But the thing that I really liked about this game was a lot of players on the bench got a lot of time on the court.
That's what these games are for.
Let's see. We had 9 players in double digits.
In minutes played?
In minutes played.
Yeah.
Broom didn't have his typical double-double, but that's because he wasn't on the court. He was only on the court for 23 minutes.
Right.
He did have 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and I think 2 blocks.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Cardwell had one monster block that, you know, was kind of a highlight reel kind of
thing. Kind of like a get-out-of-here sort of thing.
Yeah, but the thing was we had Pettiford got hot, Howard got hot with the 3-pointers. And at the end of the game, when it looked like, okay, Auburn's going to hang 100 on them, and we had the opportunity to, there was still a minute 20 to go, and we were already at 98. Bruce Pearl put out all the scout team players, and they actually had the opportunity to score a point, and just it rolled out of the rim, and the Spiders got the rebound, and then we got the ball back with like 20 seconds left to go. And this is one of the things I love the most about Bruce Pearl. He's a class act. He told his players, just dribble it out.
As he should.
We don't need to hang 100 on these kids. Just dribble it out. You know, the game's not in doubt. You guys are getting court time. You know, it's just dribble it out.
You don't
do the class act thing.
You don't have to prove yourself against Richmond.
Absolutely. Another 2 points is not going to make a difference to anybody in the rankings, so there's no sense in doing it. Just dribble the ball out.
Absolutely. At 10:15 here, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by our very own Bill Clark, but also Coach and Force Steakhouse. When we return, we'll get a bit of a deeper dive, statistically speaking, on some of the positives and negatives. Yes, I could think of a couple for this game against Richmond. And then from there, we'll also look ahead to some of the games that are happening, not just for Auburn basketball, but also just some of the bigger games throughout college basketball in this upcoming week.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated 3-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
My grades were bad.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
There are students who need somebody.
Communities and Schools is helping more than 1.3 million kids get whatever they need to succeed in school. You can help change the picture of education at communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can. Hi, I'm Krista Brandt, Northwest Florida Director of Valerie's House. Valerie's House is dedicated to helping children ages 4 to 18 and their families work through the loss of a loved one together. Valerie's House acts as a safe haven to share, heal, and find hope after experiencing the loss of a family member. Valerie's House offers free peer-to-peer grief support groups, which help children connect and build bonds with other kids their age that are dealing with similar experiences. To learn more, visit valerieshouse.org.
Children, senior citizens, and families right here in Northwest Florida are hungry. And for more than 40 years, Manna Food Bank has provided food assistance to neighbors in need. Manna distributes healthy groceries through its emergency food assistance pantry, plus 17 food security programs with 22 community partners. For more information, please visit mannahelps.org or call 850-432-2053. Manna, moving our neighbors in need from hunger to hope.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at pensacolasings.org.
Are you ready for the ultimate sports listening experience?
Get in the game
with ESPN Pensacola, the premier sports talk radio station on 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. We're your ticket to the world of sports, delivering nonstop coverage of your favorite teams, athletes, and leagues. From the biggest headlines to the underdog stories, we bring you the thrill of the victory and the agony of defeat. So don't miss out on the action. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola and be part of the sports conversation that's taking Pensacola by storm.
Today in NFL play, the LA Rams clash with the San Francisco 49ers at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway, but also brought to you by your very own host, Bill Clark. Bill, let me tell you, my friend, when we left off, we were talking about Auburn basketball looking phenomenal against against Richmond. I think they're now a losing team, so it's kind of impossible not to when you're Auburn status. But, I mean, I got to tell you, there are some positives that we kind of started to dig into here. And this was just your depth, your shooting from the field, particularly from three-point range. This was a masterclass in how Auburn is supposed to look. You had six players hit double-digit points. You never trailed. You led, obviously, by as much as 44. You dominated the Spiders on field goal percentage by about 20%. On three-point percentage, you shot 43.3% from the field. They only went 20%. And you had 18 more rebounds, and I love this one, assists. We've talked about your team chemistry. We've talked about how this team flows together. It's not just talent slapped on a court. 23 assists to 8 for the Spiders. Team fired on all cylinders.
Yeah, it's passing the ball. Give it to the open man with the higher percentage shot, even if you're hot. You're like Howard was just on fire with three-pointers, but he also had what did he have? He had – it was Pettiford. Pettiford got on fire, and he ended up passing the ball several times to a player that was in a better position to make a positive basket or get an offensive rebound. So, you know, the assist, that just means they're all playing together. There's no selfishness amongst these players, and that's coaching. That's Bruce Pearl. That's Bruce Pearl basketball all the way. And I love watching them play that way. It's nice because it kind of makes it unpredictable. You know, you right. see the big guy under the basket. He's got his hand up, and if he doesn't have the open shot,
you're not getting the ball.
You're not getting the ball. So, whereas, you know, in previous iterations of Auburn basketball, they would have tried to force it to that guy and rely on him to make the score. We got so many shooters.
Yeah, you're not one-dimensional.
No, the two big guys are not only among the best shooters, they're among the least selfish people out there. That Dylan Cardwell dunk that Broome did the little hook pass to him was just a thing of beauty. And then, you know, there were several plays in that game that, you know, could make a highlight reel, just the way the play developed from taking the ball from one end of the court to the score, which is it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
The only you and I were talking about it in the break. The only downside to this season, I mean, we've got a magnificent season ahead of us.
Yeah.
The only downside is most of these players that we're watching are in their last year of eligibility. We have a couple of freshmen and junior and one or two sophomores, but almost all our Auburn's marquee players are in their last year of eligibility. So it'll be a reload next season. Bruce Pearl can do it. He obviously did it with this team. A lot of these guys came in from the transfer portal. You and I had talked about the two marquee players on this team, Dylan Cardwell and Janai Broome.
Yeah.
Janai was a transfer, but he's in his second year playing for Auburn. Cardwell's a fifth-year guy.
Wow.
That has been at Auburn all 5 years.
You don't see that often.
No. And Chris Moore, he's in his fifth year, and he's all 5 years at Auburn. And he is a contributor. He's not a starter. He's a bench player, but he's great off the bench. And he's another big that fills that hole and gives them the opportunity to rotate the other bigs in and out.
Right.
So, you know, I just love the way this team is playing together. I felt the chemistry after the first couple of games, which is why I got excited about this basketball season and really wanted to keep the War Eagle Weekly program going because
yes.
Auburn has become a basketball school.
Seems like it.
And this year I think is as good a chance as we'll ever have of having an opportunity to play for a national championship. 2019, we got close. We got to the Final Four. This is a better team.
Well, and, you know, you were talking about all those people heading out. That's a lot of your depth, obviously a lot of your experience. This is absolutely a win-now mode, and especially after last year with the unpleasant first-round exit. Obviously, Auburn had a lot more implications coming into this. I want to say I had I filled out my bracket. I want to say I may have looked at Auburn as like, oh, maybe a team to look out for, or at least some people were, and it just didn't happen. So I'm sure this team's also playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder as well. But, yeah, I love what you said there about how the lack of selfishness. We talked in the last segment about Bruce Pearl. He's not a selfish coach. He doesn't want you to run up the score. He doesn't want you to be flashy. He wants you to win the game, and once you do that, that's it. And when he has this – machine running on, there's not one player who's going to get all the glory. There's not one player who's going to get all the highlights. This team's going to work together, you know, and this team's going to have a fair balance of time played and points scored. That's a phenomenal formula to have. I know it's Richmond, but it's fantastic to see it playing out, especially with all the games that Auburn already has won. So you mentioned a couple of big name players there, but some of the impact players in this game in particular, Miles Kelly. He was tied for Auburn's leading scorer on the day, 15 points. He shot 4 for 5 from three, so 80% from deep, not bad at all. And this guy we've already been touching on, Tahad Pettiford. He was the scorer that Kelly tied with, so he also had 15 to his name. But he's standing out more and more as a playmaker off that bench. To me, when we talk about the depth and we talk about what this team can do, you know, with outlasting some of their opponents throughout two halves, I think he's becoming the face of that movement.
Yeah, he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to get more court time as he gets more comfortable with playing the type of basketball that Bruce Pearl wants him to play.
Right.
He seems to be fitting into the program just fine. He can definitely shoot the ball. And he's not afraid to pass the ball to the open guy. It's just it's a bunch of selfless players that are there for the team. It's a team sport. Whether they win it or lose it, they're going to lose it as a team, and they're going to win it as a team. You know, Janiah Broome's arguably the best player in NCAA.
I wouldn't
doubt
it.
And he's had what, six games in a row with double-doubles? And
yeah.
This would have been a game to just keep that streak going, but, you know, selfless. He only played 23 minutes. He didn't get a double-double, and I don't think it affected him at all. I don't think he was probably even thinking about that. He was just thinking about, what can I do to make this team better and produce a W after the time runs out on this game?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just – and it's nice to see them all laugh. And the thing – one of the things I love about Dylan Cardwell is he's a cheerleader. If you watch him on the court,
yeah,
after he makes a play, an assist, a rebound, a block, or a dunk – he's out there, and he's super animated. His arms are going up. He's out right in front of the students, and he's just whipping them into a frenzy. You know, that's – you can't coach that. That's just
your personality.
Him. That's just him coming out. That's what that is. And that also goes into our fan base following our team around, especially at home games. Obviously, our fan base is going to be there. But when we travel – we have a lot of fans that go, and he's there to whip them up, and they feed.
Thanks for coming out.
They feed off each other. The fans feed off of him doing that, and the team feeds off the reaction we get from our fans. And I can't say enough about our fan base. It's just so awesome. Yeah. It's to me that's one of the most important things to me about being an Auburn fan is. The feeling you get when you go there onto the campus and you find your seat in the stadium and you watch the game, or you find your seat in the arena and you watch a basketball game, or women's softball, men's basketball, or men's baseball, even the golf team. I mean, you know, obviously you can't travel to all the venues with the golf team, but
You can't get hyped up there either. You got to be quiet for the most part.
That's a little different kind of a. Fan base that would traveled with that, but I mean, we're the reigning national champs in golf. You know, we've had two championship playoff appearances in football. One of them with a title, one of them with a loss to Florida State.
Right.
Now we're a men's basketball team. You know, making it to the Final Four, and we're ranked number two in the country. So, lot to look forward to. Really happy with the way things are going. Really excited about what this program's bringing. And now I guess we can talk about the game coming up Saturday.
Yeah, we can actually. It's 10:30, so we'll go to a quick break in a couple minutes, and we'll dedicate because you got two games coming up before next Thursday, so we can talk about both of those actually. Did want to say one negative that I had in this game. One of them was, you know, Janiah Broome's stats, but as you said, that was more of a lack of selfishness. That was more him resting up for the games that are upcoming. The main thing, free throw percentage, I don't know if you noticed that, but you were only shooting 70% from the line. You only made three more free throws in Richmond despite having eight more attempts. They shot 84.2. You shot 70.4. Don't love that. But, man, that is – and that's why people get so worked up over it, because it's such a careless mistake. If you just practice it, you will get better. Like, that's just something you need to just devote more time on when the games aren't happening.
Yeah, we haven't been real effective at the free throw line all year. We've got one or two players that are having, you know, for them, they're within their percentage, but we've got a couple of others that just I don't know. You put them at the free throw line, and it's like they look different with free throw line than they do with everything moving real fast around them.
Could be overthinking it. Who knows?
Well, yeah. Exactly.
All right. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse and the man himself, Bill Clark. We'll take a quick break when we return. Bill, as you said, we've got two games coming up, but one on Saturday against a Big Ten team. Big Ten, typically known for some basketball prowess. We got details on that and more coming up shortly.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend.
We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street. Three or more cans of food or an unused unwrapped toy will get you in for free this holiday season. And you won't want to miss the Pony Christmas Party December 21st at 7 p.m. Enjoy extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your nights where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
The Junior League of Pensacola encourages projects that support women and children's initiatives. Through collaboration and service, the Junior League of Pensacola has served and supported Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for nearly 67 years by taking on tough issues like diaper need awareness and insecurity, empowering and training women to be more effective leaders, and leaving a legacy of service that is ready to confront tomorrow's issues head on is the goal. To learn more, visit pensacola.jl.org.
The Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition is a local nonprofit that directly serves new or pregnant moms and their babies by providing education, support, and interventions to those who are at risk of a poor birth outcome or delay in development. Our fatherhood program, Team Dad, is a free mentorship program that helps develop relationship skills, finance, and overall personal development to help fathers be the best dad they can be for their families. To learn more, visit healthystart.info.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And our host here, Bill Clark, now a sponsor for the show. We appreciate that. If you want to listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly again or on previous episodes of War Eagle Weekly, you can find us on the local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also find other podcasts there as well. And you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. All right, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the state of Auburn basketball after a 44-point win over Richmond. In short, you're in a pretty good state. Well, now you've got two games coming up, one of which against 6-3 Ohio State. This is on Saturday. And the Buckeyes, coming from the Big Ten, that's typically a pretty decent basketball conference. But we were just talking about their schedule during the break. They're not looking so hot.
They've got a winning record, but it's not against the same level of competition that they would have in conference,
right?
Or in another Big Five conference. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, their statement win right now is by 8 points over Texas, and I don't even think it was in Austin. It was a their season opener. Since then, they have fed on the weak. And most basketball teams do that, to be fair. Youngstown State, Evansville, Campbell, Green Bay. They recently beat Rutgers, but that's outweighed by some of these beatdown losses they've had.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's kind of guilty of the same thing. I mean,
Richmond.
This Richmond game, yeah. So yeah. It's but I'm looking forward to this matchup. It's at Ohio State, and it's a noon game.
Right.
Or 11 a.m.
Noon.
So, yeah, 11 a.m. Noon our time. and it's on ESPN, so we will be competing against some of the college football playoff games as far as, you know, viewership. But
well, luckily not yet, right? Because the college football playoff starts the 20th, doesn't it?
I was just looking at that. Yes, you're right. So this weekend we're not competing. We'll be competing with other NCAA basketball games.
You'll be competing with them when you play number 5 Kentucky on the 21st.
Yes.
That's when you play the same day.
Yeah, we've got quite a few ranked teams coming up after the next two games. But looking forward right now into the Ohio State game, I'm sure Auburn's a favorite. We're ranked number 2. We're going to their house. I am in love with this team. I really have high expectations, and I really think this is – Auburn's going to win it. It's not going to be a runaway, but it's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be a very close game.
Actually, you're not going to their house. This is a Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta, Georgia. So if anything, the geography actually kind of favors you.
Well, then that means we're going to have a big fan presence.
Exactly.
Traveling to Georgia is no big deal for Auburn fans.
Of course not. And Auburn, yes. According to ESPN analytics right now, Auburn a 77% chance to win. So it's no surprise you are favored. As we said, Ohio State, you put it best. They got a winning record, but really, who cares? You got beat up by Texas A&M. You got demolished by Maryland. Don't even know what that was about. And you lost to Pitt in overtime. So beatable is an understatement. They're good. Auburn's great.
Yeah, I mean Auburn can't look past this game.
Oh no,
they're gonna have to bring their A game, and they're gonna have to play together.
You're playing better talent.
They're gonna have to slow the game down if things get out of hand. But I really just don't see I don't see this being a high level challenge for Auburn. But it's still not a game that you want to look past.
Oh no, absolutely not. As I said, you're playing bigger talent than Richmond. That's worth noting. You've got an easier game after this one, but you could be looking ahead to Purdue. You've got them in a little bit, as we said, on December 21st. You got Kentucky. So you've got a couple of big games coming up, but we just now talked about how many players got playtime against the Spiders. I think you were prepared for this one. I don't think you're overlooking it. I think Janiah Broome, we talked about how his stats themselves were lackluster, but that's because he played less time, and he was probably resting up for this one. You know that this is a bigger beast, and you're ready for it.
Yeah, that's why the stats from this previous game are important going into this game.
Yeah.
We had 9 players in double-digit minutes on the court, which, I mean, essentially you fielded 2 basketball teams.
Yeah.
Is what you did. And very selfless scoring. The player that was hot, they kept feeding him the ball until he wasn't hot anymore. That's the way they need to play. Defensively, we had a fantastic defense the whole season. I mean, with Janiah Broome, even Denver Jones, Cardwell, you know, they're always under the basket. They're always contesting for the rebound offensively and defensively. So, and I think we lead the league in steals. I'd have to look that up, but I know we've stolen the ball.
But we're thieves.
One of the things Coach Pearl hypes up on or emphasizes with his players is
right.
When the other team's trying to inbound, run interference on their inbounds. We have stolen so many possessions on the other team trying to inbound the ball and being disrupted.
You have a combined 59 steals this season so far.
Yeah,
that sounds like it could be league leading.
Oh yes, I mean when you're talking less than 10 games, so that's what 5 steals a game.
Yeah,
6 steals a game.
Heck, if we're not even playing 10 games yet, that's over 6 steals a game.
Yeah,
most
that's,
likely.
You know, that's not something you see in individual statistics. So. You know, those are the type of esoteric stats that make this team even better than what you see on paper is because
right.
they don't. There's no give up. They're all in 100%, even when the ball's being inbounded. So, you know, that to me is the difference maker, and that's the kind of thing that's going to make the difference in this game against Ohio State. Is Auburn's just going to bring it, and they're just going to keep bringing it,
yeah,
and until the other team just can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah, I don't see the Buckeyes lasting 40 minutes of game clock with you. I just don't see that happening. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here with you as always. Bill, Ohio State looking beatable. Safe to summarize them that way. Can't wait to hear how we'll summarize Georgia State. God bless them. You know, the Panthers, your football team beat Vanderbilt. That's cool. But your basketball team kind of struggling here. You're 4-5 on the season. And this is the statistic that stands out to me. They have played two SEC teams already, both on the road. And they lost to Mississippi State 101-66 and lost to Kentucky 105-76. Now they go to Auburn, the best and highest ranked of those SEC teams. So you didn't quite hit 100 on Richmond. You think you do it this time?
It all depends. I mean, if the opportunity's there,
yeah.
The philosophy is you got to stop us.
Right.
And if you can't stop us, and it ends up being 100 points, then it is what it is. I don't think Bruce would intentionally try to run the score up anybody.
He's not circling the 100-point.
Yeah, he's not looking at this game as an opportunity to hang 100 on somebody. But if we're in the 90s, you know, midway through the second half, there's no sense in letting off the gas pedal.
Right.
You know, and bringing other players off the bench to get some court time. I kind of see this as being almost a carbon copy of the Richmond game.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, getting more players involved, getting them exposure to the speed of the game. Let your bigs get some rest, because the next two games after that are against ranked opponents, and you're gonna have to bring your A game for those.
Right. I'm glad that you mentioned the parallel to Richmond, because I was about to do the same thing. Not only is it coming before bigger opposition, but yeah, this is a matter of, okay, if we don't break 100, it's going to be a matter of us just not wanting to, of us not trying to. We're not going to, as you said, make a point of like, yeah, I mean, it's Georgia State. They have a losing record. Here's the deal with Georgia State. I mentioned the SEC statistics when facing the Panthers. They are 1-3 in their last four games. They have lost by double digits to Austin Peay. They beat Tulsa by 3. They lost to Kentucky, as bad as we said earlier, and then they lost to Kennesaw State by 3. Those are their last four games right now. So, yeah, this is similarly to the Spiders, not an opponent where you're going to really feel like you got to prove yourself. You're going to save that, and you're going to save the scoring as much as possible against the guys like Purdue, against the guys like Kentucky that's coming up right after this. The guys that are going to actually mean something when we're ranking resumes. You see it in the AP poll all the time. You mentioned it earlier. When Auburn lost to Duke, they weren't hurt by it in the rankings because you've already proven yourself so much, and it was a competitive quality loss. We don't care about these, you know, negligible wins. Just beat up on the team and keep rolling.
Yeah, this is not the game that the ranking people are going to look at.
And they're looking at how you play.
They're
the
not going to base their decision off of this game.
Yeah, stay healthy
they
for
will,
Purdue. That's
they
what matters.
will off the Ohio State game. Especially if Auburn lays an egg.
Oh, for sure. Because it wouldn't be a quality loss, and that is one where you are going to be tested more than someone like Richmond or Georgia State.
Yeah, well, plus the fact that, like you said, Ohio State comes out of the Big Ten, which is traditionally a conference that can field quality basketball programs.
Yeah, like Purdue, Michigan State,
yeah.
Oregon now.
Yeah, they almost always have somebody that's going to consistently make the Sweet 16, at least one of their teams. Mm-hmm. So it's a better measure for Auburn against the Ohio State team. But like we just said, the Georgia State team is going to be – it's going to be an opportunity for the bench players to get plenty of playing time and get a lot more comfortable with the program. That way, if something happens and we have to call on them, they're prepared to do it.
Right. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark, once again, sitting in here with you as always. And Bill, wanted to devote some time to this, and we can maybe touch on it more in the next segment, but I know we're running on time here. The college football playoff bracket. First-round byes go to Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State. That alone was controversial. But the first-round matchups here, we've got Texas facing Clemson in Austin. We got Penn State hosting SMU. We got Notre Dame hosting Indiana. And we got Ohio State hosting Tennessee. I think that could be a good one, of course. Your neighbors in Tuscaloosa not thrilled about being the first team out. Ah, shucks, SMU got in over them.
Well, SMU is just a great story.
SMU deserved it. Bama did not.
SMU put a product out there on the field that was exciting to watch. And their coach, Rhett Lashley,
great.
Auburn's former offensive coordinator under Gus Malzahn. I'm glad to see him having success at the coaching level.
Yeah.
The head coaching level. And he's bringing this program back to what I guess you may not remember the SMU from the 70s and early 80s.
I know the history. They won big in the early 80s in death penalty.
It's a
took
program
years to come back.
It's a Phoenix program.
Right.
They've risen from the ashes.
Reborn.
Yeah, they've risen from the ashes and they've rebuilt themselves back into a class football team that can compete against the bigger conferences.
Right.
So I think they absolutely deserve to be where they're at. I've got mixed feelings on the Alabama thing. I think South Carolina has just as good an argument as Alabama does.
It's, many would agree.
I think
Ole Miss had a
being an SEC guy. Obviously, I would love to see as many SEC teams in the bracket as possible. Mm-hmm. But SMU is a story that's completely different than that. And they absolutely deserve to be where they're at.
Right.
Now, how they're going to fare against Penn State, I don't know. Since these games are not going to be played next weekend or this upcoming weekend, I think you and I, we got another week to
–
another week to think about our predictions.
We do. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I have my winners.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. But I, as I said, you know, the big argument against SMU – and even teams like SMU, such as like Clemson or Indiana, the big arguments against them, and Clemson won their conference, but people still whine. It was to talk about, oh, well, they're just going to get killed. Dude, if Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina are the first three teams out, South Carolina got killed by Ole Miss. Ole Miss lost at home to a 4-win Kentucky. Alabama lost late in the season to a 6-6 Oklahoma by 21 points.
And Vandy.
Sounds like any of these teams can lose. Let's not sit here and act like SMU's just some dumpster fire.
Well, that's the thing, is they all proved that they can win, but they also proved that they can lay an egg occasionally.
No one was perfect this year except for Oregon.
You're right to bring up Ole Miss. Ole Miss arguably has an argument, same as Alabama and South Carolina. So I'm not overly disappointed with the fact that they got left out because an SMU, quote, snuck in. I do like SMU being a part of it. I don't know how well they match up against Penn State. The playoff game that excites me right now, coming up in the first series of games, is the Indiana at Notre Dame.
Yeah, in-state rivalry, potentially good winter weather for the game. And Notre Dame, you know, sure, they're the favorite here, and rightfully so, but they are pretty unproven, have that loss to a MAC team. They're a perfect example of how no one's great this year, so that's going to be a big one. We'll take one last quick break here. It's around 10:50 already. When we return, we will get some of the predictions of some of these games that are coming up this weekend in both college football and college basketball. I know on the football side, Bill, you're an Army fella, and Army and Navy playing this weekend, so we will get those predictions for you. Coming up right here on War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special.
It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Todd with Frontier Motors wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Mar Shandy with Burns Estate Planning and wishing you guys a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't text and drive.
This is Kaylee from Wave Men's Health wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Kimberly Blair with Florida Power and Light in Pensacola. We want to wish you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
As the hub of visual arts programming and education in Northwest Florida, the Pensacola Museum of Art prides itself on providing art experiences to all individuals in our local community. From semester-long art classes for children, hands-on artist workshops for adults, artist lectures from local and international artists, and a rotating calendar of exhibits throughout the year, we are sure that everyone in your family can enjoy the programming offered at the Pensacola Museum of Art. Learn more by visiting pensacolamuseum.org. Our mission at the UWF Historic Trust is to collect, preserve, interpret, and share the rich history of Northwest Florida. With more than 30 properties spread out over 9 acres, we bring the history of our region to life. Whether you're enjoying events at the Museum of Commerce, afternoons at the Children's Museum, reenactments at the historic village on Zaragoza Street, or day trips to Arcadia Mill, the UWF Historic Trust is the cultural destination host of Northwest Florida. Learn more at historicpensacola.org.
Sunday in NFL play, the Green Bay Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. You can find them across from Five Flags Speedway. And also brought to you by our host, Bill Clark. Bill, all right, so when we left off, talking about basketball, what's upcoming for Auburn, talking about the college football playoff and a couple of the games we got this weekend. So we're going to, since it's already 10:55, we'll just kind of spitfire these a bit, starting with the Army-Navy game, one of the most iconic rivalries in college football.
Go Army.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
But, go Army, beat Navy. Let's get that Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
When I said spitfire, I didn't mean that quick. But yeah. You're an Army vet. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
And Army, I've got them winning as well. I've got to be in a close game. These guys always play each other tough. It's never a high-scoring game. I got Army 23-20, but I do think they've been the better team this year. The only other FBS-level game, I believe, this weekend is the Salute to Veterans Bowl, speaking of patriotism. South Alabama and Western Michigan, they're both 6-6. South Alabama's offense is better, and the last month has been kinder to them, so I'll take South Alabama.
I'll take South Alabama, too, just because it's closer geographically. That's about all I know about their program this year.
Yeah, they're in Mobile.
Yeah.
Go local boys.
But again, go Army.
Absolutely. All right, looking at the college basketball games here, tonight we got number 3 Iowa State at Iowa. Once again, another big rivalry. Iowa State looking phenomenal, especially after last year. They're number 3 in the nation, as I said. I've got them winning this about 84-67, the convincing beatdown win.
Yeah, about an 18-20-point win. That sounds about right.
Right. I don't know. Iowa's good, but similarly to Ohio State. You're good. You're not great. All right, Saturday we've got number 17 Texas A&M at number 11 Purdue in the Indy Classic, essentially a home game for the Boilermakers who are in Indiana. I've got them also winning by double digits here.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Aggies defense is good, but Purdue will pull away late. Number 8 Gonzaga at number 18 UConn. They're in the Hall of Fame series in Madison Square Garden. Man, both of these teams are good, but they've struggled. I've got UConn because they're championship built, obviously. But And Madison Square Garden favors their fan base travel-wise, but I'll take them probably by around 6 points. That'll be one of the better games I got here.
Yeah, I've got UConn as well. I mean, they're kind of a legacy program. They are a basketball school.
Oh, absolutely. So they both are.
Yeah, so that alone is gonna give them an edge in an equal head-to-head matchup. So I like UConn.
And we got Creighton at number 7, Alabama. I got Bama winning by 15. I know, cover your ears. The Blue Jays are inconsistent. They're heading into their first true road game of the season. Bama's unbeaten at home. They hold a superior resume.
You don't hear me say this very often, but go Bama.
Mm. Well, go Bama. So you want them to win?
Yes.
Wow. I'm surprised by that.
Because we got to play them in the SEC play.
You do? Yeah, you want them to look as good as possible.
I want them
That's
to
fair.
Be as highly ranked as I want them to be as highly ranked as possible, so that when we beat them, it means something.
Yeah, you're playing the long game. I like that. All right, and then of course, last but not least, for Saturday the 14th, as we said, Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta against Ohio State. Man, I've got Auburn winning this game like 83-61. That's the score I jotted down here. I've got it being a beatdown win.
I've got this being about the same as we discussed in the previous game. 18-20 points sounds about right.
It does.
A comfortable win, not an overwhelming win.
No.
I don't see Ohio State being given up. I do see them being outmatched.
Yeah. As you and I established earlier, decent at times, better than Richmond, so you'll struggle more than you did against Richmond.
They're a better defensive program than Richmond was.
Exactly.
They have bigger bigs.
Yeah, as they should. You know, it's Ohio State, for crying out loud. After 40 minutes of game clock, I don't see them standing much of a chance. And then Tuesday, December 17th, right before, a couple days before, we get back here next Thursday. You're back home against Georgia State. I do have y'all breaking 100. 103-57 is the score I've got here. I think you decimate them.
I love your prediction.
You're like, I like that one. The ditto. Yeah,
I don't mind. I don't mind when we're able to hang 100 on somebody, but I don't like it when we do it to do it.
Right.
If the kids play that well and we hang 100 on them before the last 3 or 4 minutes of the ball game, it is what it is. You got to stop. If you don't want it to happen, your players have got to stop it.
Mm-hmm. And I, as you said, I'm right there with you. I don't think Auburn's going to be like, whoa, yeah, let's do it. But I think it's just going to happen. I just think you're simply that much better.
It's just going to be a natural part of the game.
Right. So Auburn wins big against Ohio State. They win bigger against Georgia State. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Bill Clark himself and Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway. When we return next week, we will be talking about some more of this basketball action, but also we will be making our predictions for the college football playoff first round game. See you then.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.